I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bird Request Part 2.
It's time for your sunrise guys, Dirt and Sprague.
First, we get the bard out.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
That's the American Woodcock.
Brandon Sprague.
Then the American Crow.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Keep up the requests, guys.
All right, let's do this. Welcome in. Hour number three. Turns right here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Love that kid.
That kid is fantastic. Dude. He is going places. He's no Brandon Sprague Peacock.
My goose might be better than my peacock.
But he's close. Yeah, your goose is pretty solid. You got a solid goose.
That's a one take. I was live on the air.
That was good. That was one of the better things that our show's ever put out there, if I'm going to be honest with you. I'd like to know that there's a goose hunter out there. Do people hunt goose?
Geese.
People shoot geese? Yeah. They shoot the geese?
I think they do.
You shoot geese, right? That's the thing?
Yeah, I don't think you do them in, obviously, your neighborhood.
Well, some people would argue you should. I saw the skunk again, by the way, this morning.
Oh, the spray. How's that
Three
going, by the way?
Houses
Follow
old?
Up on that?
No, it still stinks. We've had about 17 baths at this point, and I've just kind of...
The conversation in my family
really
more shifted to, you allowed the dog in your bed the day of it happening.
Yeah.
That was
it's an interesting choice.
Universal.
It's an interesting choice. Yeah.
Bad choice, Dirt.
You know, yeah. You know what they would say to that one?
Be on my bed.
They would say,
not good.
No.
You're going to get fired.
You're going to cage him.
You're going to sleep outside tonight.
Go sleep outside.
I saw him 2 houses away this morning, and I just thought, man, airsoft gun, if I just had one right now. Going into some neighbor's backyard.
You coming in one day with a skunk hat, like Scott Farkas.
Holding it up in the air.
Yeah, you just wearing it, not saying anything.
Let's go, baby. I just would like to think that there's one geese hunter out there who heard that on the radio, thought, man, that was an incredible geese call. I'm going to pull that, like record it, and have it be my geese call when I'm out shooting my geese.
Here's the thing. My mom's boyfriend had me do that twice.
Mm-hmm.
He had a goose call.
He had one.
He had one that
like
he'd blow little... in that makes that noise. Yeah. But he had noticed that I had practiced so much that he's like, actually, you're pretty good at it.
You keep doing this,
Can
man.
Can you do it for me? And
you
I was
got
like,
a future.
Sure, man.
What happened to your Duck Dynasty future? You could have been the Geese Dynasty guy.
I actually never ate any goose. I've never had goose before. I've only had quail.
I've heard it's good. I've had quail, too. I've never had geese. Never eaten
Tiny,
any geese.
Juicy chicken is what quail tasted like.
The only time I've ever seen a geese die is when my buddy at Eastmoreland smoked a low line drive into one's neck. Head just went flopping down. You're like, oh, that thing's not going to. And then my
was
hunting.
Was I with you when you killed one, or was it somebody else in our group?
Whoa, me? I never killed a goose.
No, you remember we had a group on 18.
No, I was there. It was
a low line.
It was Rocky.
It was my dad?
I think so.
My dad killed a goose?
No, your dad didn't kill it, but his dad, your dad did hit it in
did
the
hit a goose?
Chest.
It hit what?
And it was like. And it like wobbled away. And it probably died.
We were
it didn't
on
die
that,
right there, but it might have died yeah, shortly
later.
After that.
Yeah, we were on that par four that dog legs
no,
and goes
five.
Over the stuff.
After the par three over water.
Oh, okay.
That
yeah,
left.
Yeah.
He just low line.
Low liner. You got to watch out for those things.
And it just like called over and then it got up and it's like.
It just. Dude, they're all over the place
away.
Out here, man. We can't avoid them. They're all over the fairway. What do you want from me?
Okay, so I don't think it was you then,
That's
but
hilarious.
I'm pretty sure. Me and my homie Jesus met up with you and your group of guys mm-hmm. on 18, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit a low screamer, and it just drilled right in the wing.
Yeah, that thing ain't flying for a
while. And it fell, and when it got up, it tried to fly away. It was
nope, that's not happening.
The wing didn't move.
That's not
And then we just noticed blood coming from underneath.
Uh-oh, we have internal bleeding now?
And I just looked at him, and I went... That's dead tonight. That coyote, the coyote's going to be all over that thing.
There is a some sort of predator out there that will take that goose down. That thing's going to wait in the wings for everybody else to fly away, and he's going to be walking around. Shout out to the geese and the geese calls. Let's get to start the hour. Let's talk some NFL football, shall we? I actually have some actual NFL things in my notes that I'd like to get to. But before we do, let's continue a debate we were having. A listener tweeted us, and I enjoyed this tweet, and I want to read it. Hold on, let me go to our show page here. Because Jason Swigard made an analogy. And he said, okay, that Kansas City Chiefs, this is from Miller, one of our P1s, Chiefs analogy that Mike Tyson at the time was a stretch. After Tyson fought Buster Douglas, folks were still not lining up to say, I can take Mike Tyson, but I get it with the Kansas City Chiefs. I do find this a very interesting storyline going into the year because it is the least... Without a doubt in his career, it's the least hype they've been going into a season.
You don't hear, you don't see and hear a lot of Chiefs other than picks he's, and chatter.
No, dude, nobody's picking him. I don't see any in Super Bowl picks. I haven't seen anybody taking the Chiefs to win the AFC. Maybe some people like him in the division. I don't know. But in terms of Super Bowl picks.
Don't worry, Nick Wright will get on it.
Nick Wright will definitely take care of that. And by all means, I want to add to the record, I am rooting for their downfall. I'd love if the Kansas City Chiefs did not win another Super Bowl. Mahomes already has three. That's an awesome career. Let's share their wealth with the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, I don't want Kansas City to win. I got tired of them winning. I do just, I find it a very interesting thing of all it has taken is one kind of crack in the door where they certainly were not very good last year. They blew some games early. Remember the Chargers beat them in week one in Brazil. It's a close game. They lost at the end. Remember they had the Eagles game where they couldn't convert, if I remember.
They were
like
1-9
down.
In one score games.
Like it's everything
they had
10
one score games, 1-9.
Right. And the year before, what were they in one score games? They won a whole bunch of games that they had no business winning. And so it almost went like usually you're evened out at some point, and they technically did by going essentially undefeated in one score games too. They couldn't win a one score game to save their life. I find them going forward very interesting. They've dominated the NFL for the last decade, essentially. They have who is considered to be the best or second best quarterback in the entire National Football League. And I have a hard time not going back to kind of some of the stuff we did with New England, and myself included, looking at New England. Every year they didn't win a Super Bowl or they didn't get close. We forget with Brady's career that he won three early, and then he went, 11 seasons without winning a Super Bowl, if I'm not wrong? I think it was at least a decade where they were a playoff team or they'd get to the AFC title game and like Pittsburgh would get him or Denver would get him, and they'd lose. And then at the back end of his career, he had the Atlanta one, the Rams one. Like he piled up a couple more Super Bowls and ended up winning a few more later. But I guess I'm not quite – maybe one more year is what I'm waiting for Kansas City to fully embrace the downfall of not being – being intimidated by them, because they've always been, they haven't been unbeatable in this run. I just, what Kansas City does this year with the attention and Mahomes now being back, it appears for week one because he's practicing, because that was a thought at one point that maybe Fields has to start a month, and at that you're like, oh, good luck with that, he sucks. But if Mahomes is ready to go week one, they're going to have their guy, and if they don't win again this year, then by all means I'll jump on that bandwagon, but I don't think I'm there quite yet.
I think part of the problem is the reason we saw them burst onto the scene is not the reason that they beat you anymore. And so it's not that winning two straight Super Bowls and going to three straight, even if you did get embarrassed in the third one, it doesn't mean like the run is officially over. It's just merely pointing out since 2023, he hasn't been top five in NFL passing yards. 2022, he was number one. He threw 5,200 yards. He had 41 touchdowns and 12 picks.
Crazy what happens. You take away Tyreek Hill.
Well, I mean, and also Kelsey's fallen out of the prime. Like Kelsey's cooked, right? He might have a season here where he can piece some things together, but I don't think you're putting a lot of eggs in that basket. So who are you going with? Xavier Worthy, coming off of an injury-filled season.
From his own player.
Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
And Rashee Rice after
he's not in prison.
He's not suspended or in prison.
Right.
So like,
he's available to play.
I think that's part of the problem is the way their offense is operated. It's been something largely carried by defense. But if you get in a tight contest in the final couple minutes.
It's a one-score game, and he's got the ball in his hands.
Because he had established so much credibility as the late operating magic wand-waving quarterback, 13 seconds or less, there's just an internal belief, I think, or fear that if you're against him or you root for him, he's going to pull it out. And the fact of the matter is, they just didn't. 1-9 in one-score games last year is an eye-popping stat for something that we had seen that had been established for so long,
right,
as dominant and excellent.
So, and I think that's the follow-up question. Is that now becoming the trend with them, or is that an outlier? Because they've always been elite in Mahomes' era, even without some of their top targets in one-score games, yeah, a la the year before. Now, your point on defense, I agree with that. I made that argument 2 years ago when they got there. It was led predominantly by their defense. Mahomes' numbers were not that good on the season, and it all crumbled down in the Super Bowl against Philly, right? Like, everything just imploded on itself. But that is the interesting part about that, because I don't disagree. That stat is a jaw-dropper of like, oh my God, they were that bad. Is that the trend, or is that an outlier for Kansas City?
So, and I think that's where we have to kind of wait and see, unfortunately. You can give the take that you think it's an outlier or it's a trend, but personally, like, you got to be honest about it. You have to wait and see, because you can't be good for that long
and then
have your down season, and then suddenly you can't be good ever again.
That's the way it'll always be, every year.
Let me ask you this. If we looked at just this metric, right, not a stats in the NFL, if I went to DraftKings, and I'm only just tying this back to give you an understanding of the picture here, I'm going to ask you, who do you give the nod to a better chance to win the AFC? Ravens or Chiefs? What's your gut tell you on these teams?
Chiefs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Bills, Chiefs.
Bills.
Patriots, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Chargers, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Texans, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Broncos, Chiefs.
Broncos.
Jags, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Bengals, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Okay. All right. So you're still answering Chiefs for most of it. I don't know if the rest of football fans are answering in the same light. I think there are some of those teams, like, you think the Patriots are going to have a down year.
I do.
And I think some people also buy that, but enough to the point where people would say the Chiefs have better odds to win the AFC in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. Like, I was a little surprised you said Chiefs over Ravens. Now, that is something of, you haven't seen Lamar and the Ravens get over that
hump. Is he
going
to stay healthy? Could he win a big playoff game?
I mean, that's fair to ask. What's the new coach going to be like? But,
I don't know.
Again, Mahomes coming off an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
What did they add in the offseason offensively from the wide receiver department?
I don't think that they add anything.
They feel like the Chargers in some ways in this regard. I'm waiting for them to add the player, and they don't add the player.
Yeah.
They keep just saying, no, our guys are good enough. And maybe they will be. Maybe Xavier Worthy takes a huge leap this season. Maybe Hollywood Brown surprises us. Or even Rashee Rice doesn't suffer consequences and goes back to being just a stud, pass catcher.
They took a wide receiver out of Cincinnati, but fifth round pick,
right? That's a little bit of a flyer.
So you see what you got.
All our point was on this topic wasn't that the Chiefs, to Terrell Davis's point, is a circle dub. I wouldn't go that far. But 2, 3, 4 years ago, yeah, dude, I would look at that team on a schedule. My team played them 2 years in a row. And every year I played a schedule game as a fan, I said, L. And most of the time, I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more to me about...
The intimidation is gone in your mind.
The intimidation is worn off. I just think the AFC from Ravens, Bills, Pats, Chargers, Texans, Broncos now, like, you could rattle off Jags, you could rattle off more.
Sure.
I just think it's such a deep conference that I don't look at the Chiefs and suddenly tremble and shake in my boots the way that we did 2, 3, 4 years ago. I don't think it's crazy to look at your schedule and suddenly go, yeah, my team can win that game. Don't know if it's going to happen, but you don't feel as concrete about that's going to be a loss against the Chiefs as you did.
Yeah, that's certainly a point I agree. The intimidation being gone is something like that is, but I also... And I'm not saying that you're saying this. It was more about the Davis thing of, like, I look at that and circle it as, like, oh, that's a dub.
Yeah, good luck on that one. I wouldn't do that.
They still have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, and I'm not forgetting
that. How many teams do even do that in the NFL? Because I don't think I really do that in the NFL. I did that a little bit last year, and I was way wrong. The Jags beat San Francisco
The Dolphins this year. If the Dolphins are on my schedule.
Cardinals, Jets.
Here's the funny thing. You're not wrong, and yet the Jets, the Cardinals, and the Dolphins are all going to win.
Oh, they'll win
maybe
three
or four
games.
They
for sure will.
Yeah.
Browns.
The Chiefs right now, the fourth betting favorite, according to DraftKings, to win the AFC. The Ravens are the favorite at plus 470, Bills plus 510, Patriots plus 760, Chiefs plus 770, and then the Chargers right behind them.
So it's an interesting case study.
Texans
so
and that, Broncos behind them.
Behind them. By the way, did you see the video of CJ Stroud walking in yesterday to the facility?
I saw a couple of videos. I didn't see that one.
Go pull that one up. He looks like a... It was a really rough start to his training.
Did you see what the Ravens did?
No, what did the Ravens
do? They brought their actual PA guy, stood him out of the front door, and he goes... 5'10".
That's
Boston
pretty good.
College.
That's funny.
Safe Flowers.
So this is an interesting thought process because you threw some teams out there that I think would, you know, are in the mix and maybe people are high on or betting on. If your team is playing the Ravens or the Chiefs, who are you more intimidated by?
The Ravens.
Now, why is that?
They
did not make the playoffs last year. Their defense was not very good at all last year. They have a new head coach.
I'm weirdly going in on the new coach.
Because this is the only thing I'm bringing up. Because I agree with a lot of the intimidation stuff.
I don't have
like
a real reason other than like I just think the Ravens roster is better than the Chiefs roster.
And that's
right
fair.
Now.
That's fair. What about the Chargers?
I think that's a rock fight. But here's the thing. I would kind of lean Chargers. I think they play, they usually play pretty good games when they play each other.
Oh, yeah, the Chargers and Chiefs. I'm saying, like, if your team is playing the Chargers or your team is playing the Chiefs, are you going into that game more intimidated by the Chargers
Same.
Or the Chiefs?
Same. Same.
What about the Bengals?
I feel better about my team.
Against the Bengals, but against both of them?
No, I feel better about beating the Bengals than I do the Chiefs.
Than you do the Chiefs, yeah. That's why it's interesting to me, because I agree with the AFC is loaded. We know how good the quarterback play is and all of that. There is also the idea of, like, Jacksonville is a good team. I don't know where they fall in the pantheon. Houston has their problems at quarterback.
How much of a believer in Coen are you? Because if Coen really proved something to you last year,
I think he's a good coach.
Then you'd have every right to come in and say, why can't the Jags be better? Their defense had turnover stuff that I don't think is going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But Lawrence was better and improved.
Mm-hmm.
And their coach, you know, they lost their wild card weekend game against Buffalo, but that's a hell of a first year.
I think it's part of the thing that makes Kansas City what they are, and that is, and maybe this is, again, what is fated for them, it is the idea that they do it year in and year out, until last year.
The mystique and magic, I think, wore off
like,
somewhat last
Baltimore,
year.
Baltimore, yeah. For as good as they've been under Lamar, they've won playoff games, he's won MVPs. They have years where they're a complete non-factor because he got banged up and Tyler Huntley starts half the year, and they don't make the playoffs, a la last year. Like, I've seen that happen on a number. The Cincinnati Bengals have had years where they look like a team you don't want to play in the playoffs, and then a team where it's just like their defense gives up 50 points a game. They've been terrible. That is the one thing, and that's where I'm at on Jacksonville. Like, last year was certainly a nice surprise if you're a Jags fan. They had a good year. Can you go do it again? Mm-hmm. This is part of my New England theory this year. I just think the schedule gets more challenging. You're not catching anybody by surprise. You are now a team that is circled on the schedule. You won the AFC last year, and I just think your road's going to be that much more difficult. Kansas City's been the one, and with Buffalo, obviously, you know, Buffalo doesn't have a Super Bowl or an AFC title in that mix, but they've been the other one that, like, year in and year out, you're right, until last year, you write it down at the start of the season, we know the Chiefs will be in the playoffs, so there's not a question in my mind.
I just think you look at the numbers, and you just say, Mahomes, fair or not to him, his numbers have gotten worse the last three seasons.
Progressively the last 3 years.
Part of that is the injury, but that's what the NFL is.
His injury was late in the year. He played the majority of the year last year.
Yeah, and he finished with 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 11 picks.
Yeah.
That's
not great.
You know.
If it's not Patrick Mahomes and I just throw that stat line at you, you're not saying, oh my God, that's elite quarterback play.
No, because in 22 he had 41 touchdowns and 12 picks.
Yes.
I guess it's totally fine to still have a lot of the same fears of Kansas City, but what are the odds they have a New England-like run? And I think what we're doing is we saw a team do it, have a gap, mm-hmm. do it again.
Yeah, New England did, by the way, I looked up, 10-year. They won in 2004,
years.
And then they didn't win again. They went to two,
they
lost
went
to the Giants.
Two to the Giants, right?
And then they didn't win one again until they beat the Seahawks in 2014.
But see, even that is kind of an outlier to say of, like, winning. The between gap is a 10-year gap. They went to two in the gap. It's not like they completely fell off the earth.
Right. And Mahomes has been to five.
I know. And I don't know if Mahomes and the Chiefs will, but what I would say is, like, what would the statistical odds be that they duplicate what the Patriots did?
Yeah.
It looked and started like the Patriots.
It did.
Is it going to do that again and they get back to the forefront of the AFC? There's a lot of really good teams here now, right? And I feel like the math has to be against them doing what New England
did.
That
point I certainly understand. I think I would lean on the most important tenets to me winning consistently in the NFL are, do you have a good head coach?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an elite quarterback?
He was just voted coach. Wasn't he the best coach by the AP? He just voted that.
I mean, how many coaches right now, if you're starting from scratch, fantasy draft, are you taking over Andy Reid?
Actually, a little more than I think you'd be shocked how many.
Is it an age thing?
Yeah.
Is it a last year thing?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know how many more.
What if
years?
I asked you for a year, right? For like one season,
yes.
He's in the top five of the list, even if it's long term, there's not many of that guys. Do you have a good head coach? The answer is yes. Do you have an elite quarterback? The answer is yes. And has your general manager shown the ability, not 100% of the time, because no GM does it 100% of the time, to find guys who you can fill in and have as value players and be a good drafter? And I feel like more often than not, now he's had his issues at wide receiver and they've not been able to replace guys since Tyreek Hill. And to your point offensively, that's a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere, they've had a really good draft run of, especially defensive players. Like, they made the decision this offseason to trade away Trent McDuffie, who
he
was
did.
What? A back end of the first round pick, had had a phenomenal run, turned himself into one of the best corners in the league. They said, we can't pay him. So what did they do? They traded him away, and what did they draft in that spot? They draft the corner from LSU. And so is that guy going to come in and be as good? Like, I have a trust in their GM, their coach, and their quarterback. And as long as those three things are constants, and I don't know how long Andy Reid will be a constant, to your point, maybe that's what ends it. He retires 3 years from now, and then the next coach isn't quite Andy Reid. But if you got those three, man, I certainly understand the odds will tell us that there will not be another New England dynasty. But that's where I'm just like, I'm not done with them until one of those three heads of the monster are chopped off. And Mahomes is gone, or Reed is gone, or their GM is gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very fair point. I just, it's also funny if his career, if they don't have a resurgence the way New England did, and he just continues.
What if he's done? What if he doesn't win another Super Bowl?
That's my thing. Is like, what if his entire career, he's going to end up with I mean, he's already a Hall of Famer, right?
He will be
like,
a Hall of Famer.
His career continues. He has good seasons, great seasons, okay seasons, and never wins another one. It's almost like it's a weird career of like all of the success was at the front and the back end was just a slow play to it's over.
Yeah.
Right? Because if Curry and the Warriors don't win in 22, it's somewhat similar in some ways of like, hey, you did a lot of the winning and then
you had that run. Everybody thought you were going to dominate forever and it didn't end up happening.
He did get the one more and that was a mighty important one, but you're not picking the Warriors and Steph Curry. I just kind of wonder if it's a very similar vibe of we feared that coming through our town. Are people there yet on the Chiefs of like, yeah, you're good, but you're not what you were?
To one listener's point, deal at Fan Text said, when your biggest offseason addition was Taylor Swift, you might be in trouble. Maybe you're right. We'll wait and see on that. Swag said, not scary at all. Chargers better go win the AFC West now. Let's stick in the NFL. I got a couple of other notes, including would you pay these guys? And one quarterback situation got even worse. That's next on The Fan.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 8:27. We'll have some more on college football in the final hour. Oregon going at Big Ten Media Days today. We had our guy Jake Butt on earlier. He gave some great quotes from day one of Big Ten Media Days and the expectations coming into the year. We'll hear from Dan Lanning and all those folks later this afternoon, and then we'll have that audio obviously on The Fan throughout the day and then on our show tomorrow morning. Let's stick in the National Football League a little bit, shall we? I don't know, I'm trying to word a poll question on that. Are you still intimidated by playing the Chiefs is probably the best I can come up with. So I'll throw that out at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter if you want to go vote. If you were an Atlanta Falcons fan, Kevin Stefanski is your new head coach. How you feeling?
This was depressing.
How you feel about Cooper Rush?
How you feeling about your quarterback situation? Because we just had another update. So the earlier update today was that Tua had a flare-up. He's flaring up. So you had to go get Cooper Rush.
I don't know what that means.
He's got flare up.
Penix isn't ready to go yet.
It's a flare up from an undisclosed injury.
Yes. Off to a great start there, Bob.
A great offseason signing.
Michael Penix just talked to the media. Training camp underway, and he said he is still 4 weeks, likely another 4 weeks from getting cleared.
Okay.
Hopefully earlier, but he said, "quote I can't afford to have someone trip and fall on me right now." And Cooper Rush. That's his music. Yes, you heard it. The glass is broken. Falcons fan right now, how you feeling?
I don't know how Falcon fan is feeling about any of this. What I'll say is this, and I've given Matt LaFleur. I've given him a little bit of grief.
You and LaFleur have your beefs.
Well, just anointed this crown prince of the entire league. Hasn't actually won squat, but okay, I digress.
Falcons under 6.5 wins paying one plus 125.
I at least give LaFleur this. Like, he is smart. He knows what he's doing. His teams have kind of underwhelmed, I think, in his era, but he's what? He's consistently in the mix.
Yeah.
All I have heard and seen is Kevin Stefanski get two Coach of the Year titles.
He got two of them dangs.
And be talked about as if he is in this rarefied air of coaching despite having, what, one playoff appearance in Cleveland in his run?
I think he had
two. He beat lost to Houston.
He won a playoff game with Joe Flacco and Baker Mayfield. Thank you very much. Stefanski?
Didn't they lose that game?
They definitely won the playoff. With Flacco, didn't they win? Or did they lose that game? I can't remember.
He won with Baker.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he lost to Houston.
With Flacco.
With Flacco. Okay. I don't know if that was wild card or division round, so look that up.
Okay, I'll look it up. Let me look it up.
But, like, I don't know if you could have accomplished less as a head coach and then still been anointed as this, like, godsend of a coach. You better win. I don't think Falcon fans feeling good about this particular situation.
You are correct. Wild card round.
Cooper Rush. Yeah, because I think I picked Cleveland that game.
We all picked Cleveland that game.
Cooper Rush, I cannot believe, is still getting calls in the National Football League. But when you're there, you're desperate. And so all I would say is, I don't know who's going to play quarterback for them. That dude better win. I'm tired of hearing the excuses of why some coaches are allowed to win sometimes, every once in a while, and other coaches have to win at all times.
I mean, this is about as bad of a start to year as you can have, is it not? You came into the year thinking, all right, Penix versus Tua, that's already not good, and now I have one who's not available for another month, which, by the way, that's like basically the start of the year, and another one who is flaring up from an undisclosed injury who was... you know, a little injury riddled at his time in Miami. I think it's safe to say. Remember the claw hands? And now Cooper Rush might be your starting quarterback.
How many new NFL coaches?
In such a bad division, too. Like, that division
and then
is
behind
up
him,
for
don't
grabs.
You have like a 1 year Division II guy or something like that?
I cannot tell you who the other quarterback is on the Falcons roster.
Where,
I don't know.
Where do the vibes feel worse right now in the division? Atlanta because of this or Tampa where Vita Vea wants out?
He does
Baker's
want
not
out.
Getting a contract.
Mike Evans walked
left.
Away. Yeah.
There's weird vibes in Tampa right now. Their coach is probably coaching for
his I think there's more
job.
Panic in Tampa because. They've been successful more recently. I think Atlanta, you got a new head coach. Matt Ryan's coming in. I don't think there's that high expectations. They're trying to figure themselves out. Like Tampa, you could see, okay, they should win the division again and might if they can keep everybody happy. But if that falls apart, how far down do they go? How in many, a crappy division.
How many fan bases feel they upgraded with their new coaches this season?
What are
Mike
our new
LaFleur,
coaches again,
Cardinals.
Right? Okay, LaFleur.
Do they feel like they upgraded?
I mean, probably. The other guy was so bad, why not if you're a Cardinal fan?
Joe Brady in Buffalo.
I don't know. They would probably sell it to themselves, but I don't look at it that way from the outside in.
But you think they view it as
I
an
think
upgrade?
I think internally every fan base will tell themselves that they did great.
Okay.
Like, that's just
Mike McCarthy?
No.
No. But they also, dude, Steeler fans also hated Tomlin at the end.
As we pointed out.
They wanted to run his ass out of town.
They're identical.
I think
they're
Raider identical. Fans are feeling better.
Yeah.
Ravens? Yeah.
No, Raider.
Raiders fans.
Oh, Raider fans definitely.
Ravens
Dolphins?
Probably too.
Halfley?
I don't think you feel like you upgraded there.
Giants do.
The Giants definitely
Giants
do.
Giants definitely do.
Yeah.
Because we have one in our building.
Yes.
Browns? So here's the interesting one.
We got a two-time coach
if you
of the
say,
year.
If you say Browns, yes, are you saying yes to Falcons? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you
what
poor
about
bastards.
Titans?
You poor bastards. Titans definitely
Titans,
yes. Definitely yes.
Okay. They're going to be organized.
That's the most unanimous one we can all agree on, yes. Right? And you got a good offensive mind. Like, we can say what we want about Daboll, but I think we all respect him as an offensive mind, as a play caller. Head coach, who knows, things went a little
Saleh
awry.
Saleh is a leader and organizing people and getting them all going. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you feel better as, a Raven or a Falcon fan with your new coach?
Ravens.
Probably a Raven.
Probably a Ravens fan. Because okay. At least it's the unknown of this guy could be Mike McDonald 2.0 and he just won a Super Bowl.
It's also Lamar's prime now. We don't know how long it's
going to
last.
We have a quarterback
Can
at
we
least.
Not just be stuck in this forever ending to our season?
Let's change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's going on right now in Atlanta. Harley, we're thinking about you. Sorry, buddy. That's a rough way to start your year.
Do you think Sean Mannion saw this news and went, damn, dude, I maybe still could have been hanging out here.
I could have been cutting around a little
Cooper
bit, dude.
Rush?
Yeah, still getting another invite. If I were him, I would also look around the league and say, dude, if I could figure this thing out in Philly for a year, guess what he's going to get after a season? A head coaching opportunity, which would be pretty wild. What if Sean Mannion goes on to be like a Super Bowl winning NFL head coach? Be a hell of a story, dude, from a local guy.
Where would he take? If the Bengals stink again, is Zach Taylor out? Could
10
Sean
coaches
Mannion...
are going to get fired this year. We know they're going to get fired. It's the way it works every year.
The year Kellen Moore did in the run game is back.
Sirianni could get fired in Philly. He could just take
could
over
just
that
take
job.
The job there.
Cincinnati, if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to fire their head coach. Yeah. You just mentioned Tampa Bay. Yeah. They should have already fired their coach.
But the only way Sirianni – well, I shouldn't say that. The likely way Sirianni gets fired is because the offense – Jalen Hurts and they don't get it done again, and that reflects on Mannion. So,
how bad have the Packers got to be to fire LaFleur?
I don't think they're going to fire him after one down season because they've at least been a playoff team every
year. I think they move on
year.
From Love.
That
before
was an
they...
off-season storyline.
Well, because his contract.
Well,
they don't
have
him...
any money according to Ed policies.
They
so.
Don't. They're struggling financially. They also have a team philosophy that they don't like coaches on a 1-year expiring deal.
Wait, what do you mean they don't have any money?
that's a whole thing behind the scenes right now with them. I don't know. I haven't read too much into it, but that they're not as flush with cash because
they're
public ownership.
Because they're publicly
Mark
owned.
Mark Davis is like the poorest owner in the league, and he's out here making real grass happen. These guys are liars.
He is.
They're all liars. We don't have any money. Get out of here. What are they, all Tom Dundon?
Trying to think who else could get fired this year. That's probably the extent of
the
list.
What about the Cowboys missing the playoffs?
Yeah, Cowboys missing the playoffs, although he's very loyal to his coaches.
He does like his coaches.
He keeps his coaches around for a very long time and lets you get a nice runway.
Shoddy.
I don't see Shoddy going anywhere after one down year. But we know this is the way the NFL works, right? Half the league. The Baker Mayfield one is unique because that's one where I get both sides of it. You have a good quarterback. Where would we put – where's the pantheon of Baker fallen? Where does he fall in the pantheon? Top 13-ish for you? Top 14-ish, right?
When healthy, Baker's – he is easily
just outside
in that
the top 10? Or
yeah, he's in that like top 13, 14.
Top 13,
for sure.
14.
And
so
that – is a sliding scale depending on how you're playing.
You have a top half of the league quarterback. You've been relevant, but you haven't necessarily gotten to the highest of highs. And you have a guy who needs a new contract. He's going to likely cost a little bit more than the last time he signed him to a deal. Because when you signed him to the last deal, if I remember correctly, it was a 3-year deal. Then they signed him to, and he was kind of coming off that he's done as a player. Maybe they gave him a 1-year and then an extension. I can't remember off the top of my head. But that's a tricky one, man, because we have seen organizations who have had good quarterbacks think to themselves, we can figure this out somewhere else, and then it not happen. A la Cleveland with Baker Mayfield when they had him, and they have not been able to find a functioning quarterback since then. And so you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. You might have to pay him more than you're comfortable. But him going into the season without a deal, he seems like the kind of guy, and maybe they franchise tag him after this upcoming year. I don't know, but he's going to be a free agent. He's the kind of guy that I think would remember that and hold that against you. If you don't give him an extension right now, he seems like the petty type in the NFL, and I can't blame him for that. And him being a free agent next year on the market would be a unique story because you just don't see top half of the league starting quarterbacks become free agents very often in their careers.
You don't, but Sam Darnold had an incredible year, and then Seattle picked him up because Minnesota wanted to go a different direction.
What did
I would
get?
Say this
3 years, $90 million. What did Darnold sign for?
100, I think.
3 years, $100 million.
What I would say on Baker is we agree of where we largely view him in the scale of quarterback play. If they underwhelm and massively disappoint and the Vita Vea thing hangs over him all camp.
He's not practicing right now, by the way. They're saying an injury, but also reeks of like, let's not get him.
You have to look at this objectively and honestly. Baker can be a fine starting quarterback. How much do you want to commit? If they suck and they fire Bowles, I could also see them pivoting and going, we're going to draft and we're going to keep our young players and we're going to rebuild.
Let's start young.
With a new regime, a new coach, a new everything. Like you trade Vita Vea, you don't re-sign Baker. Baker's 31.
He is 31.
He's not a spring chicken anymore in the National Football League.
Is that old in NFL standards?
Not everybody's going to play until they're 42 years old, right?
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty positive. But I could see them pivoting in all ways in Tampa.
Yeah, it's unique. And I think there would be teams who would be waiting. Like if you project this out a year from now, the team we just talked about, Atlanta, hello, could use a quarterback. What's the future of Bryce Young in Carolina? Although he probably wouldn't go back to Carolina.
Cardinals. High on Carolina.
Cardinals, right? Like, what's the hell's going on there? Is Carson Beck the guy Miami's going to desperately need a quarterback? There's a lot of teams around the league that kind of jump out, and you're like, yep, that would make a lot of sense. They would eagerly sign a player like that because a lot of teams are desperate for quarterbacks. I agree with your point on Tampa that you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I honestly, if I was a Tampa fan,
would you want him to resign if you're a Buccaneers fan? Give him the deal?
If you're choosing to not resign him at this point, I'm just led to believe that this is a go do it and you get paid and it's rewarded, or they're going to blow it up and I'm kind of cool with both.
His contract, by the way, was basically identical to the Darnold deal. 3 years, $100 million.
Well, is he a Jim Harbaugh? Does he have a shelf life everywhere he goes? Because he seemingly seems to have stuff. You know, the Tampa. I'm not saying he's rubbed people the wrong way in Tampa. I just wonder if he's got Jim Harbaugh in him where it's like, hey, 4 years of this guy's cool, but I don't want a decade.
My guess is, and I don't know enough about the negotiations to obviously be concrete on this, my guess is that Sam Darnold just won a Super Bowl on a 3-year, $100 million contract.
Yeah.
That is a very value to get a quarterback making $33-ish million a year is an incredibly valuable contract. What is the point of diminishing returns on a contract for Sam Darnold that makes you balk, even though he just won a Super Bowl? $45 million a year?
I think it's more length.
Length, the terms of the longevity of the deal?
If he wants like guaranteed three or four years.
Because that's the part of it that I see both sides of this with Baker. Of like, Baker Mayfield on a 3-year, $100 million deal, I would do in a heartbeat. Is he asking for $33 million a year?
Do I have to guarantee the whole thing, or can I get out of it after?
Then probably not. You probably have to guarantee. If Kirk Cousins is getting a fully guaranteed deal, Baker Mayfield should get a fully guaranteed deal. Like, that's a difficult part of this.
And that's where I think Tampa might know, like the team might know all the injuries that he's played through during his time there. Like, if he keeps doing that, it's not going to last 3 years.
He's not
years.
A big guy. I mean, he played injured at the end of last year. You could see it.
I mean, you admire his guts, but at some point, the accumulation of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I think that's a difficult part of, like, if he's asked, we don't know what he's asking for internally, but if he's asking for like $45 million a year, I get Tampa saying, you're good. You've been good. You've been relevant.
I'll do 1 year. I'm not guaranteeing three.
Right. Or 2 years maybe at most, and then we got to keep ourselves flexible. That's a difficulty with the structure of quarterback contracts right now. So you get these guys on valuable deals, and you jump at them when you get them. But the other side of that is there's going to be a payday. Like, what if Darnold has similar years the next 2 years in Seattle, but they don't win a Super Bowl?
Well, he's going to get a pay increase.
He's going to get a pay increase. You but what to. Is, again, the number that makes you go, Darnold's been good, but... Is he worth that?
Is 42 a year for Baker a stretch?
That's right around my breaking point.
Because 42 a year, you give him a 3-year, 126 deal, but you give him the Mike Inouye clause. It's a 1 year and the rest is an option.
I don't think
for
he's
us.
Signing that. That's a tough part. He's not signing that 1 year deal. Then you're a free agent.
Tampa has to make a hard line here, and he's been great for them. It's been a fun story, a route for the dude. You have to draw a line. And as an organization, they're not a Super Bowl contender. You want to win another one. You had a little bit of a window there to maybe compete and sneak up on people. You didn't do it. You have a lame duck coach now. Your DT wants to be traded because he wants to be paid. Got to make a hard line decision as an organization. It sucks because I like Baker Mayfield, but I also wouldn't fault a team by saying, we don't want to pay you $45 million a year for 3 years.
I go back to the playoff game 2 years ago. Remember that Commanders team went in there and converted like 13 fourth downs and beat them by a field goal at the last second? That was the year they won the division. You had home field in the first round. You're like, oh, here comes Tampa. And then the young commies came out of nowhere, knocked them out last year, didn't make the playoffs.
Well, and then you had the Detroit year, too.
Remember, they almost beat
them at Detroit, and Baker threw two picks, I think.
And that was
the year
I think Detroit made the NFC title game. So they've been close, but we'll see what they do. He's entering camp with no contract. He is playing. Talk about guys who are holding in. We'll get to that on the other side. A few more NFL notes next on the Fan.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 8:47. We'll get back into some college football stuff in the final hour. Oregon getting ready to go. Big Ten Media Day about to start day two in Chicago. I also have a fun callback of Where Are They Now? And I would throw that to you at the top of the hour. Lots still in the NFL notes, though, to go through. We have a couple of hold-ins in NFL training camp today. They're there, but they're not practicing. How long does it take to get a deal done?
Does anybody hear about a hold-in and freak out? I think it's the least freak-out thing you can have. I'm like,
because you're there,
wants to be there,
and they don't want to get fined, and if you don't show up, you get fined. It's actually a brilliant move to make this the way to do it in the NFL instead of staying away and doing the Terrell Owens, I'm doing crunches in my driveway kind of stuff. Like, just be there. We know you want a new deal. You don't want to risk getting hurt. Like, it's kind of a win-win for both sides in my mind.
It also leads you to believe that there's...
Yes.
The discussions are going on. They're, you know, coming at it from different positions. There's a negotiation. They're not quite there yet, but they're talking.
We have the top two, arguably, running backs in the NFL, both holding in.
Why is it always this position?
Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson are not practicing today. They're having conversations about long-term contract negotiations. The only thought I had here is who's the guy who ends up signing first and then regrets it because you know the next deal will be bigger than the first deal.
I think they're trying to time this.
They're going
to
do it simultaneous extension?
Do they have the same agent?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Well, if you get beat, you'd be like 2 to 40.3, right?
Do you care about that as an athlete?
Actually,
Draymond Green did. He opted out. He got $100,000 more than he had.
I actually think they do.
Yeah. They want to say they're number one paid. I would also say, like, I really wouldn't practice them that much.
No, this time of year. There is only one running back in the NFL making $20 million as an average per season. Do you know who it is?
Henry?
It is not.
$2,100 on an average?
Sorry, $20 million on an average per year. It is Saquon Barkley. He is the only one in the NFL that got to that. The total value of the deal, not as necessarily much as some of the other ones, but total guaranteed.
Yep.
He is Jeremiah Love is now the new guy who leads the NFL in that, being a top five pick at running back or top, what was he, sixth pick, whatever he was.
Jeremiah Love was a third pick.
Third pick, thank you. $53 million of what goes guaranteed to the third pick. So he now leads the NFL in running backs in total guaranteed money in his contract. Saquon Barkley is second on that list at $36 million. If you're Atlanta or Detroit, we totally cool giving these guys more than Saquon.
I'm in Atlanta, yes. Because otherwise, I'm not going to have any offense.
If I'm in Detroit, yes.
I think it's
hard. Why did you only do Atlanta?
It's a hard yes for me.
Jameer Gibbs done.
He's been fantastic.
He's been a monster.
And they're both incredibly young and early in their careers.
Why'd you just say if I'm Atlanta?
Because in Atlanta, I don't have a quarterback.
Jameer Gibbs, 24 years old. He had 1,200 rushing yards, 13 TDs last season.
How many more years do you have a quarterback in Detroit?
It's a good question.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Statistically speaking, he was very good last year, but not very good in big moments.
Yeah.
That was a difficulty of him. Gibbs had a total
You know who makes you look good? Jameer Gibbs.
Jameer Gibbs makes you look fantastic. He really does.
We can't, you know, I don't know how long Jameer Gibbs' career is going to be or how elite he's going to stay. Reminds me a lot of just Alvin Kamara, just... It burst onto the scene. Oh, my God, he's really good.
Could be a thousand kind of guy. He's versatile.
Yeah, that kind of player. You can never dunk on that franchise for that pick.
Never.
So many people wanted to.
How much goodwill does that buy you, too, even with other controversial picks? Like, if that was a very criticized draft selection for them when it happened on draft night.
It was a big reach at a position people didn't think you should draft at.
It would be akin to, now this is way more extreme, but I like tying things back locally. Like, if Jon Hanson turns into the most improved player in the NBA this year, one, there's a lot of crow that's get eaten, and two, next year in the draft when you actually have a first-round pick again, there's a thought of like, I don't know if I feel comfortable criticizing that because that turned out well for you.
Yeah, that's fine. I think it's okay to criticize even after hitting on stuff or wonder aloud about stuff. But, like, the criticism for me, it's not that, like, running back needs to be the highest paid position or picked the highest, but the amount of people that dunked on him, and then they showed the live video.
They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm taking note of this. Why do these guys celebrate like that? And then you see him play, and you go, oh, my God, this is why.
Yeah.
Did we do that about Jeremiah Love? I'll give you the one last year that I thought it was egregious, and I can't believe the Raiders took a running back.
Ash and Jeanty.
And Jeanty may be a good player. They need so much more in Vegas.
Yeah.
But I think they thought internally with Carroll, Kelly, Geno, I really think they probably thought they were one offensive weapon away from competing.
That's the unique thing about the Gibbs one, that they were still drafting, but they were still drafting high because what was he, the 13th pick, I want to say?
12 or 13.
12 or 13,
yeah,
somewhere in that range. That they were still building and hadn't quite, you know, reached the tops of where they were going to go in terms of being an actual contender in the NFC.
12th.
But you look at the NFL and you look at the roster and you say, like, there's not a lot of holes there from where they were at making that pick, right? Goff was coming off the year. I want to say that was the year after they damn near beat the Packers and almost made the playoffs, if I'm not wrong, and they were drafting in that kind of middle.
Penei Sewell.
Right, like
Goff,
you had good pieces. Yeah. You're like, okay, I can see the vision
Amon-Ron,
here. To your point on some of the other teams, and this has been, I think, a case study of Atlanta. You know who was really good last year? Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, he was.
He had 1,500 yards, how many TDs did he have? 7 TDs. Receiving, he was third on the team in receiving with 820 yards. He had well over 2,000 total yards. He had nearly 11 touchdowns on the season. And it meant what for Atlanta? Like, that's a difficulty with running back picks. The Giants were this with Saquon Barkley. You can have great players, but to your point on a Jeanty-type pick, if you have other holes, Cardinals example, it's not going to do a lot for you if you just get a good running back.
I think the hard thing in any sport, regardless of position or teams or what leagues you're talking about, I've been holding on to this for a hot minute of, I just don't understand why franchises talk themselves into giving up on good players. Like, you don't have to think Jameer Gibbs is the best running back. I don't have to think that Tariq Skubal is the best starting pitcher in baseball. You know what I want on my team? I want a great starting pitcher. So, like, yeah, my season's a disaster. The amount of quickness teams are ready to punt on good athletes. You know, we were playing the game of, will the Blazers go get Trey Murphy? Trey Murphy. And then somebody texted me, and they had a good point. Why did the Pelicans not want a Trey Murphy? And I thought, wow, good point.
Think about it that way.
Like, I still go back to the Bucks. Why did you not trade for Jaylen Brown in a Giannis trade to either keep and say, hey, we have Jaylen Brown. We're going to be somewhat organized and we'll piece this thing together, or
offload him and
offload
totally
him for more stuff. Yeah. Like, I just find how we handle good players. Like Bijan had a monster year last year and a bad year for the Falcons. There should be no uttering of "let's trade Bijan." Why?
Why? What's the hang up on
a
contract? What is that? Yeah, after how good he's been, what are we waiting on, Atlanta? You're not paying a quarterback a lot of money yet. Penix hasn't gotten an extension.
Like, there's no other
Kirk Cousins is gone.
The Detroit Tigers to be a functional franchise unless they trade Tarik Skubal.
That's the only choice you got.
I don't understand why they're in such a rush to trade greatness. Yeah. I don't get it.
Give those guys extensions. They both deserve it. You can argue running back 1A, 1B in the NFL, and it's a very easy argument to make. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Statter story coming up at 9:27. We'll get you set for day two of Big Ten Media Days. That's where we will start with a cut from our guy Jake Butt. How high is he on Oregon? Also, the fun game of Where Are They Now? Let's play it next on The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.